Gospel according to Matthew, the fifth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teach others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Jesus, in our Gospel, says two things I want to use as the focus of our homily this morning. The first is, "I came not to abolish, but fulfill." The second, "You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid." I'm going to start with that second one. In Mount Angel, Oregon, my parents built a retirement house that was kind of a dream house for them. And one thing they always wanted to have was kind of like a tower that was almost like a sunroom that they could look out a long way into the distance. So when they built that retirement house, they put a third story on it. That's just one room in the third story that's full of skylights and large windows that could see all the way around. Now, I know for some of you, a third story doesn't sound like all that much of a tower, but we are in Mount Angel, and we don't exactly have skyscrapers. Some barns, but in that space, and they're actually 3 miles out of town, the only thing around is fields. And so from that third story, you could see a tremendously far distance because it's so flat. You could see so far, almost basically as far as as the air will allow you to see. There's enough humidity and fog, that's a different issue. And during the time when I was done teaching at Concordia in spring of 2020 until I came here in January 2021, so for those 7-8 months, my family and I lived in that house, and we basically had the second and third floor to ourselves, and my daughter Iris was just barely a year old, so we were still in the get up in the middle of the night pretty often, and one of Dad's jobs was the very early morning hours whenever she woke up, and usually when she'd get up at like 4 a.m. or something like that, I would take her up to that third floor so that it wouldn't distract those who were still sleeping. And when I'd go into that third story with all that glass where you could see for so far around, and then at 4 a.m., especially in the winter, it was dark. And for those of you who are from the country or lived in the country, know how dark it is when there aren't city lights around. And what in the day was that viewpoint where you could just see for miles just felt so cold and isolating because of how incredibly dark it was. You didn't feel like you could see anything at all except one thing. The town of Mount Angel is actually called Mount Angel because it is a big flat area except for one hill. Now, I know it's called Mount Angel, but exaggeration gets the best of us. It's a hill. On top of that hill is a Benedictine monastery and seminary. And because of the monastic hours and the way it was built and the winding road to get up there, there's always lights on up at the abbey. And it stands almost as a beacon for the entire community. You see those lights brilliantly shining out for so far. That light that shines forth can be seen from miles around. So when I would go up to that third floor, tired and exhausted with a crying baby, I would look upon that light that came forth from the abbey. And so in our gospel reading, when Jesus uses the metaphor that you're the light of the world and the city on the hill that can't be hid, I just automatically thought of being in those cold mornings and the way there was nothing but darkness all around except for that one spot where there was light, and the way my eye would just almost naturally fix upon it. Jesus says here in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say you need to become that light, or you are growing into the light, or the light will come upon you when I come again. No, you are, in the present, the light of the world. You don't have to earn anything to be it. You're simply the light in the world. And this statement directly follows what Pastor Lori preached about last week in the Beatitudes, of Jesus saying, you are blessed. You're not blessed because of something you did, but simply because Jesus selected you. The Word of God has come upon you. You are blessed. You are the light of the world. It's your identity. If you recall, several weeks ago, we celebrated the baptism of our Lord in Matthew chapter 3, just two chapters before this. And when Jesus went to be baptized by John the Baptist, John didn't think that was right. He objected, and he says, I really shouldn't be baptizing you, Jesus. And Jesus responded to John, this is necessary to fulfill all righteousness. We had the opportunity at that time to reflect on righteousness, and of righteousness meaning to set into alignment that which has gone askew. And Jesus said that act, Jesus' baptism, was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. All people, all things being set right. They will be put back into alignment before God, before everyone else, all things in its proper order. There no longer be the chasm between God and us, clouded by our sinful and broken world of pain and suffering. Instead, all righteousness would be fulfilled. And that follows with what we see here. You are the light of the world. You have been set right. All righteousness has been put in order because Jesus has set it right, not because we did anything about it. But here Jesus continues. After those metaphors of salt and light, he says, I came not to abolish the law and the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Notice that word again, fulfill. To fulfill all righteousness. But Jesus, I thought you said at your baptism that this act, the baptism, was necessary to fulfill all righteousness. Wasn't it done already? You were baptized. That happened. Didn't that the righteousness get fulfilled? Isn't it all better now? But here, Jesus shows the baptism, yes, was the fulfillment of all righteousness, but that fulfillment continues. Jesus says, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass away until heaven and earth will pass away, until all is accomplished. That means it wasn't just all done at his baptism. It continues until all is accomplished, and it hasn't all been accomplished yet. All is accomplished only when Jesus returns, and there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more isolation. There is more and more fulfilling to be done. And now our gospel text turns in a way we might not have expected back at Jesus' baptism. When Jesus says at the baptism, this was necessary to fulfill all righteousness, no matter how that righteousness was getting fulfilled or whatever that means, I sort of assumed Jesus was just going to do it all. And in some ways he does, yet our text today, Jesus invites us into the process. You are the light of the world. You are the city on the hill, like that abbey that I saw in the dark mornings. You really are that light. And then the next verse, that light of Christ that's within you, let your light shine before others. You who are able to name who Christ is in your life amidst a world of many who cannot name that, who don't know Jesus or the righteousness brought, you who do, let that light shine outward. You have a role in fulfilling all righteousness. You who are blessed can be a blessing. That message can be hard because I so very frequently don't feel that I'm very righteous. I feel very broken and in bondage to sin who cannot save myself. How could I possibly be part of fulfilling all righteousness? Jesus is going to continue in the Sermon on the Mount for two more chapters with, frankly, incredibly hard ethical teachings. Rather than saying the law from the Old Testament's going away, he expands it and makes it even harder. How can I possibly do that? All it seems to be showing me is how I continue to fail. But Jesus says, you are the light of the world. In that imperative, that command, let your light shine, something significant happens that we can too easily miss. Grammatically, the subject of that command, let it shine, is the light. The light that is within you, to be sure, but it's the light that's going to shine. And the light will indeed shine. As it says, all we have to do is keep from putting a bushel basket over it. That abbey up on the hill that looked so brilliant looking outward, if you ever went up to the abbey in the early morning hours and joined them in their morning chapel or really anywhere on the grounds, you would have no idea that this was so bright from a distance. Because in fact, it's pretty dark up there. They don't waste electricity. And people often complain that we can't really see very well if you're actually up there. And what's more, you know, they don't turn all those lights on in order to be this beacon for the community. They turn them on because they have things they're doing and they need it, and there's some safety things for their road and different aspects. But all of us down below on those farms see that light shining forth. Those at the Abbey have no idea what the full impact of that light is. And for me, in the mornings when I'd go up on that third story when it was dark and cold and trying to calm a crying baby and the level of exhaustion that I had that all parents of young children know, those light on a hill, just being its very presence, was a sign of hope and life for me. And the Abbey, those there, unless they happen to be watching now, which is pretty unlikely given they're Catholic, have no idea of that impact it had on me, and probably won't. And isn't that the same way that our light shines outward? Sometimes we see the impact of the light of Christ within us shining forth. We can see how we are enlightening other people's lives. But most of the time, we won't know. In fact, we often feel like it's pretty dark where I live. But that light of Christ exudes in ways we don't understand. But the grace of God is we don't have to understand. We can be discouraged and feel convicted, and God is still working through us in ways we can't even imagine. You are the light of the world. That light is exuding outward. It's active and alive in every one of us. Thanks be to God. Amen.